You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. The grand theme of things is back, and Doctor Who is 51 years old. Nothing to make you feel young than knowing that there's a Time Lord out there that's older than you. And for the past year now, he has been older than quite a few of the fans. Thank goodness. I was starting to feel a little bit old myself, Doctor Who being in his 20s and 30s for much of the run of the new show. Not the case now that Peter Capaldi is in the driver's seat, but most of the music that we will be listening to in today's grand theme of things predates Peter Capaldi's reign so far. And a fine reign it has been. This installment of In the Grand Theme of Things concentrates on Doctor Who soundtracks and related recordings released in the show's 51st anniversary year, 2014. However, it wasn't until the 51st anniversary year that we got the soundtrack from the show's 50th anniversary special. We're going to start off with music from Day of the Doctor, the 50th anniversary episode of Doctor Who, which aired on November 23rd, 2013, 50 years to the day after the show premiered on BBC One. Now, if you remember watching Day of the Doctor, and more importantly, listening to it, you will remember that the episode as aired had a huge amount of music that was reused from past episodes. Now, it's pretty well known that the special had budget issues in that the episode was not budgeted at, you know, it wasn't given much more of a budget than the average weekly episode of Doctor Who. And so not only was that same amount of money expected to reel in a big-name guest star, it also had to produce an episode almost twice the usual length, and it had to film everything in 3D. And it was going to be shown in something like 90 countries. It actually broke a Guinness World Record for the television event most watched in the greatest number of countries simultaneously, or more or less simultaneously. No pressure there. Yeah, we're just going to give you the budget of an average episode to cover that. No problem. I think a lot of people assumed, in hearing the reused music in Day of the Doctor, that the music budget was where a bunch of money got saved, because obviously they were just regurgitating stuff that had been used in previous episodes. It turns out this actually isn't the case. The Day of the Doctor soundtrack is a 2-CD set that features Day of the Doctor, as well as the music from The Time of the Doctor, the Christmas special from that year, which also ushered out Matt Smith. The officially released soundtrack of Day of the Doctor reveals that Murray Gold composed a completely original score, which used vintage synthesizers to sort of pay homage to the musical feel of the show's entire history, from the 60s when they were making very experimental use of analog synthesizers through the somewhat cheesier, more dated synthesizer sounds of the 80s, through the modern day where they've used synthesizers to simulate parts of an orchestra. The history of Doctor Who music is tied in with the history of the synthesizer very intimately, and Murray Gold understood that and wrote a score that featured all sorts of vintage synths, doing things that vintage synthesizers do so well. There's just one problem. At some stage, probably because this show was going to be so heavily exported, and they wanted it to look and feel expensive, even though they weren't going to throw any more money at it than the average episode, someone at the BBC threw a fit and said, "No, you can't use these cheesy synthesizers on this heavily promoted show. We won't let you." And thus the music was substituted. The score for Day of the Doctor that we did not get to hear is full of delightful surprises, and it despite the occasional bit of synthesized cheese, it still manages to sound big. It still sounds like one of the biggest events in the show's history, if not the biggest event. Two of my favorite scenes that we did not get to hear Murray Gold's original music for until it landed on CD were the point at which a discussion of the legendary Time War suddenly turned into a full-out wartime flashback. which was covered in the actual episode with a piece of music that we had already heard before from David Tennant's era. That same piece of music is referenced in the music in the score that was actually written for Day of the Doctor, but the build-up to it, where we go from talking about the war to experiencing it, it's almost like being hit by a truck in slow motion musically. I mean, you can feel it coming, and it's just an awesome piece of music. Another thing I wanted to point out is toward the end of this, the final scene of the episode, which I don't really wish to spoil for you, as if you, like myself, have not watched this episode about 25 times since it aired. The final scene gets a nice little flourish, which ties the themes used in the current series in with the interval of the original Doctor Who theme as written by Ron Grainer. Just listen and keep that in mind. Here is Murray Gold's music, including music we did not get to hear on TV, for Doctor Who, The Day of the Doctor. Thank you. Murray Gold's fantastic and in places unheard score for the Day of the Doctor, the Doctor Who 50th anniversary episode. One trend that asserted itself in 2014 with regards to official music releases that were Doctor Who related was that, perhaps in no small part due to the fact that Silva Screen released not one but two box sets of Doctor Who music chronicling the musical history of the show across its entire 50-year lifespan, and several pieces of stock music were licensed by Silva for the larger box set, the 11-disc box set, which was hideously expensive and came packaged in a handcrafted wooden TARDIS case with a sound chip and a flashing light on top. And if you were in the States and had to have it imported from China to the UK and then from the UK to the United States, you were looking at dropping about $300 on this thing. As much as I wish I could present highlights from that huge 11-disc box set, I simply couldn't afford it. However, some of the stock music that was licensed for inclusion on that set is now available separately because the various music libraries that hold the rights to that music, apparently about the time that Silva Screen said, "May we license this from you and include it as Doctor Who soundtrack music," someone saw dollar signs lighting up in their eyes, or pound signs, I suppose, and said, "Hey, we could do this too." The result is two albums which were released in 2014, both consisting of music from Doctor Who's black and white past. This first selection is from an album called Cold Worlds. The music is by Don Harper. Part of the music on Cold Worlds includes a re-recorded, rearranged version of some of the soundtrack music he composed for a 1969 Doctor Who story called The Invasion. This was the last appearance of the Cybermen in the 1960s, and it had a very unique sound to it, unlike anything else before or since, quite frankly. It's somewhere between James Bond spy music and the kind of music you would expect to accompany the Smurfs. I'm not sure that's really a description that does it justice, but there you go. So, this music isn't very Smurfy, however, because he rearranged some of the pieces that he wrote for the Doctor Who episode. Her selection's from Cold Worlds by Don Harper. Thank you. Music from Don Harper's album Cold Worlds, including rearranged pieces inspired by the soundtrack music he wrote for a 1969 Doctor Who story called The Invasion. Cold Worlds is not really a Doctor Who soundtrack album per se, but obviously that was the target audience. The renewed interest in the show and its history, and its musical history, was what brought Cold Worlds bubbling up to the surface and remastered for CD. Also remastered for CD in 2014 was an album by Eric Sade. He's a veteran library music composer who's done a huge amount of stock music, much of which wound up on this album. The album is called The Ultrasonic Perception. Several pieces of The Ultrasonic Perception album by Eric Sade were excerpted and used as stock music in the William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton eras of the original series. Basically, the 1960s Doctor Who episodes were awash in Eric Sade music from The Ultrasonic Perception. And here are some excerpts from that album, sounding very strange, very trippy, very 60s. Thank you. Music by Eric Sade from the Ultrasonic Perception, part of our Doctor Who at 51 theme on the grand theme of things this week. We are going to time warp back to more or less the present. The end of 2013, having starred in the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special, actor Matt Smith decided it was time to hand over the keys of the TARDIS, which of course we now know he handed over to Peter Capaldi, who is not only a fine actor in his own right, but is also, since his young days, Capaldi is a huge Doctor Who fan. As part of what's made this most recent season of Doctor Who so entertaining is knowing that the guy in the costume, in the TARDIS, on camera, in front of the camera, acting out the part, is geeking out over this every bit as much as you and I, possibly more. But there had to be a story in which Matt Smith handed the keys of the TARDIS over to his successor, metaphorically speaking. As you know, when the Doctor is mortally injured, he regenerates, basically changes his body. Large parts of his personality change as well. You never quite know what you're going to wind up with. That episode was The Time of the Doctor, which was also the 2013 Christmas special for Doctor Who. So it's kind of interesting. That's twice now, twice, that we have had a Christmas special sort of darkened and made heavy and somewhat depressing by the audience's knowledge and the story, you know, telegraphing from the opening scenes that this is going to be the last you see of this Doctor. It happened with David Tennant to some extent, and it also happened with Matt Smith. That being said, Murray Gold always knows when he's doing the Christmas special because there's a certain twinkle to the music. I mean, jingle bells would not be entirely out of place. This is a Christmas episode that knows it's a Christmas episode. The music from The Time of the Doctor was released as the second CD in a 2-CD set with the complete score from Day of the Doctor. The music from Time of the Doctor was nowhere near as butchered or edited or just completely replaced as Day of the Doctor. So much of what you hear on CD is pretty much what you heard in the show, which is great because it's awesome, awesome music and a perfect send-off for Matt Smith. Murray Gold wrote Matt Smith's Doctor as a larger-than-life youthful character with boundless exuberance. I mean, sometimes the music was almost exhausting, because it had more energy by the end of the episode than any of us watching did. And Time of the Doctor sort of kisses off that style before everything changes yet again. Here is Murray Gold's music, some highlights from Murray Gold's music from Time of the Doctor.
Thank you.
Music from Doctor Who, The Time of the Doctor, the exit episode of sorts for Matt Smith as the 11th Doctor. And it turned out that the 11th Doctor wasn't the 11th Doctor at all. He was the last Doctor. But, fortunately, thanks to story developments that I won't spoil for you, that happened toward the end of the episode, 13 lives is no longer the limit for Doctor Who. And I think we all saw that coming. It was just a matter of how plausible the explanation was going to be. Thanks for listening to In the Grand Theme of Things. If there's anything you can be sure of, it's that the TARDIS will probably be back. That's all for now. In the Grand Theme of Things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.